What's up, peeps? It's Corey Vincent here, and you're listening to Video Game Bang, brought to you by NerdReactor.com. What are you reacting to? And we have a great show for you this week, because we have a very special guest, one we've been chasing for quite a while, and she's finally here, the cosplay queen herself. Ivy Doomkitty is on the show for the entire hour, people. So get ready for an entire show of Ivy Doomkitty. But before we get to that, we got stuff to talk about. We got to talk about Twitter, at Video Game Bang. Facebook.com/VideoGameBangBang, YouTube.com/TheVideoGameBang, and help support the show. Go to our Patreon. You can go as low as like $1 a month. That's all it takes to fund your Video Game Bang, your favorite video game podcast in the world. Gotta be at least $1 a month, right? So you can check that out at Patreon.com/VideoGameBang. Like I said, this show is amazing. We have Aaron Carter also joining us, as well as the real David Webb here, and we are going to have lots of fun with Ivy. It's going to be a great show. I should also tell you to go to NerdReactor.com, get your latest and greatest in geek news. We do articles there, reviews, and San Diego Comic-Con is coming up. There's going to be a lot of big things coming out. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when the issue gets real. I don't know, get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
What is up, pizzas? Corey Vincent here, and you are listening to Video Game Bang, brought to you by NerdReactor.com. What are you reacting to? And we have a very special show for you today. So important that we're just going to jump right into it. There's not going to be a long, drawn-out intro. We're not going to plug the Facebook that you can see on Facebook.com/VideoGameBangBang. We aren't even going to talk about Twitter, where you can get in touch with us at Video Game Bang, and we wouldn't even dare mention our Patreon, patreon.com/VideoGameBang. Also, if you want to get into touch with our YouTube, we will be on YouTube. Aaron, we got a awesome video where we shot unboxing of the Power Up Box, our third time. And I think you'll be surprised at the results.
Yeah, very much surprised. It'll be out any second now.
Any second now. We have a cosplay dance music video from Sacramento Wizard World, which leads us to the big news. We have a very special guest on the show. Joining us is, you're not going to believe it, she is the most popular cosplayer, I think, in the entire universe?
We haven't seen cosplayers on Mars yet, so.
So until we do, she is the most popular cosplayer in the known universe. My personal favorite, Ivy Doomkitty. Welcome to the show.
It's all lies, I promise.
Oh, wow.
Not
at
all.
It's an elaborate scheme.
Well, you've done a very good job convincing everybody, though, because your Facebook followers and Twitter followers and just followers in general are ridiculous. Like, more than most A-list celebrities. How do you do that?
I don't know.
Just like people just think I'm cute. Bam.
They're like, who is this weird person? She does all these weird things. I'm going to follow this weird person because they're weird.
I think there might be a little more to it than that. We'll get into all that and plenty much more. Also, people may be wondering, where have I been? I've been gone for the last 2 weeks. There's a lot going on. We had the big E3. Then we came back to the panel at Wizard World. So if you have not checked out the panel, it was live. We uploaded it a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go back and check out our live panel with Janice Davis. It was pretty good. I'd say it was pretty good.
Yeah, it went over swimmingly. I had so much fun. I think fans had so much fun.
Yeah, and we gave away a lot of
cool stuff. Yeah.
We're broke now. Officially, VGB has no money.
Start from scratch.
Because of that thing.
It's awesome, though. It was awesome.
The guys did a very good job. I want to commend you guys. David Webb running the whole show by himself.
Thank you, sir.
By himself, huh?
What happened? You did something, too?
Oh, no, yeah. I did nothing, really. Yeah, I did nothing.
I have a whole new appreciation for everything that you do.
That's what I've been waiting for someone to say my whole life.
I knew what you did.
And he just didn't give a shit.
Well, we got Ivy Doomkitty, so we're going to give her the bulk of our attention here. Ivy, thank you for joining us on the show. It's one of the rare times where you called us out on Twitter. Like, I've reached out to you multiple times. I've had some ideas, and you've always are so busy. But then out of nowhere, we get a tweet from Ivy Doomkitty saying, "Hey, I'm ready. I'm ready for Bang."
Oh, that sounds so dirty.
That wasn't intentional at all, was it?
Our name is a complete happenstance. There's nothing dirty.
Right. No, I mean, like, I love what Nerd Reactor does. I actually did their first show right when I started cosplaying. They did a small show out here called Reactor Con, and it went over really well. I had an absolute blast. Since then, I've just had a really good relationship with them, and, you know, just knowing that, you know, you guys are, you know, are part of Nerd Reactor, and, you know, all that, that already speaks loads to me.
Oh, sweet.
So, you know, when I see you guys tweeting or, you know, posting things, it's always good. You know, it's always good stuff. It's positive. It's funny. It's entertaining.
I'm going to cut that out, that audio section. That's my new ringtone now. Ivy Doomkitty saying that we're funny. That's it. That's the seal of approval. You were at Sacramento Wizard World because of us, let's be honest.
I will definitely say yes. You guys made it possible. So I'm so appreciative for that.
You did amazing. You did your Meg cosplay, then you did the Emperor's New Groove cosplay, and then I missed Sunday. So what did you do that one?
Is it Velma?
Velma, yes. Velma happened on Sunday.
Velma? Mm-hmm.
You missed Velma.
Sorry.
Damn it. And then we gave you a VG.
I'm not touching that one anytime soon, so I'll wear it again.
Yes. And we gave you a VGB shirt, too. And did you throw it away immediately, or do you still have it somewhere?
I still have it. It's actually in my suitcase. I haven't unpacked yet, actually.
Me neither.
I've been focusing all of my energies on getting some new costumes done, and tonight I'm unpacking that suitcase, washing. Oh, mind you, I should say that I got rid of all the dirty clothes already. Okay, I don't let like dirty clothes sit in the suitcase. That's just gross.
You just throw them away?
Ooh, it gets lost.
Wow, okay. You made it sound like you just throw it out. Okay.
No, I'm not rolling in this kind of cash. Jeez.
Oh well, you got the calendars going on, so that's how you make your millions, isn't it?
I wish. Well, anything I make goes right back in it, you know, producing more costumes, more content, doing shoots, traveling, you know, just it goes right back into doing what I love.
And that's like really, you know, commendable. Like, do you crowdsource or do any of that stuff for your costumes?
My what?
Do you do crowdsourcing or anything like that, like GoFundMes and stuff for your cosplays? You do it all through your own revenue?
All through my own revenue. Yeah, I don't like the idea of asking for money for a costume by GoFundMe personally.
Well, see, that's super interesting because a lot of people are doing that. We've fought about this on our show plenty of times. I'm more on your side. Something about it just doesn't click with me. What's your like fleshed out reasoning?
I don't know. It's just a thing of, I don't know. I don't like the idea of asking people to pay for your hobby. You know what I mean? You know, if you have a full-time job, for example, and, you know, or whatever, and you're foregoing, and I've seen this countless times, you know, people will forego on doing, like, paying things that they should be paying, and they're just cosplaying and nothing else, or they do a GoFundMe to help them get to a con or help them. You're asking strangers to pay for your hobby, and I don't know, for me it just comes off as just irresponsible, you know. And like, what, you know, if somebody does like prints, you know, they're providing content, you know, prints, the calendar, things like that, you know, other cosplayers will sell merchandise in terms of like they'll make bags or they'll do pillows or, you know, things like that, like geeky related products, then they're providing something of monetary value to their fan base, you know. And at that point, you know, the fan can, you know, if they're going to buy prints or whatever to display of the cosplayer, it's the equivalent of, you know, when you buy, you know, like modeling photos, because there's pretty much one and the same, you know. And for me, that's one thing, you know, you do that and you can get, you know, revenue that way to to build a costume or things like that. But when it's like flat out, hey, please give me your money because I can't save money to pay for my hobby. You know, I don't find it appealing. I don't support it myself. I'm happy doing things the way that I'm doing. I just, for me, it's always been a thing of, or at least like just the way my mom brought me up, you know, you work for everything.
Yeah.
You know, you work for everything. It's never like a handout or anything like that. But then I understand the other side of the coin where people say, well, you know, no one's telling them to donate, you know, to the GoFundMe. You know, if a fan wants to donate to a GoFundMe, then that's on them. At the end of the day, I think each person's going to do whatever they're going to do.
Yeah, Aaron and I, that's how we actually came to learn Nerd Reactor, because we, on the show when we were still, like, unaffiliated, we had a giant argument about Liz Cat specifically in the Princess Peach cosplay, and we were arguing back and forth about it.
It was a little more than just the Princess Peach cosplay.
What else was it?
It was her history.
Oh,
it was
okay,
the whole
her history
ideal
going into it. Okay, yeah,
of
yeah,
Liz
yeah.
Cat.
The pornos? Is that what
yes.
we're talking about, the pornos?
Yes.
Yeah, you filthy fuck.
Whatever.
We were talking about that, and then it brought us to a Nerd Reactor article. We actually brought the author of the article on the show. We learned about Nerd Reactor, and that's how we joined. So it's come full circle now. Now we got Ivy Doom Kitty giving us the law. This is how it is.
I am the law.
You heard it first. Ivy Doom Kitty's doing Dread.
Yeah,
that's the next cosplay.
That's
there
the
it
next
is.
Cosplay.
No, I mean, it boils down to it's to each his own, you know. It's, like I said, people are going to do what they're going to do. I like doing things my way. For me, in terms of, like, I measure my success by how hard I work, you know, and where I'm at from, you know, now to 6 months later. You know, what have I accomplished? What can I say later down the road, look back and say, you know what, I did that. I accomplished that, and that was me, you know.
You are talking about your accomplishments, and one that's got to be on that list of accomplishments is your work on Trek Isolation, which we talked to Eric Moran a couple weeks ago, which is a super exciting project, somewhat kind of independent, but it's got all these huge names attached to it. It's going on, it's like a YouTube series, fan film stuff, and you got wrapped up in that, and you've been getting to work like on screen acting alongside Stan Lee. And Merle? What's his
Merle.
Name?
Merle.
Why can't I think of his name?
What did you forget that? His name? Michael Rooker.
Rooker. Yeah. That's right. I could have named like 8 characters he's done, but I can't name his actual name.
Really? Yondu.
Yondu. Yondu. Yeah. What was his name? Yeah, so what's it like working on such a big project with such big like actor names? Like, you're a huge cosplayer, but you're somewhat new to the realm of acting, right?
One, I wouldn't say I'm a huge cosplayer.
Oh, come on now. You are one of the most popular cosplayers. You have to be.
Tiny.
Definitely in the top, what?
Five.
Five?
I'd say top two.
Of history, we're talking to. We're talking history.
Oh, yeah, because there is the very first cosplayer, Theodore Teddingworth.
Cosplay of.
1902, he cosplayed.
Yeah.
As George Washington, right?
You can't forget him. Yeah, I mean, he's just in the history books.
Yeah. But then, like, then it goes, like, Ivy Doom Kitty, and then
everybody else.
Maybe Yaya Han.
Yes, actually. I mean, I personally have never had any acting experience. So my very first, I guess, experience with acting was doing the Trek Isolation prequel. And for me, it was one of the things, you know, I had read the script and everything months and months ago. But it wasn't something that was real to me. I knew I was going to, you know, be acting, and I knew that it was going to be with Stan Lee. But for me, it just wasn't real. And it wasn't real until, even when I was there, you know, getting ready, and they're doing my makeup, and Stan's there, and they're, you know, he's getting into his costume. It still wasn't real to me until I was right behind those sliding doors, about to walk in and deliver my lines. And at that moment, it hit me. Just the reality and the depth of what I was doing hit me. Holy crap, I'm going to be in a scene with Stan.
Wow.
I'm going to be acting with Stan. And, you know, at that moment in time is when I got incredibly nervous.
Now, putting this into perspective, when you're, like, you do panels and you do a lot of stuff in the public eye, when you do those things, are you pretty much numb to that excitement feeling, or are you excited every time? or that get that nervous feeling, maybe that's a better word. Are you nervous every time before you start a panel?
The nervousness is gone with a panel. I am comfortable with public speaking if it's a panel that I've done consistently. If it's a new panel, you know, something I just wrote and it hasn't been tested, so to speak, then it is intimidating and it is nerve wracking because I don't know how the response is going to be to the panel. And also like with my body confidence panel, because I do talk about a lot of things that are very, personal to me, very sensitive topics, within that panel, that one does make me really nervous.
Really? Every time?
Yes.
And what are some of the things you talk about in that specifically?
Just things pertaining to self-esteem and body confidence and just, you know, personal struggles that I faced and, you know, still deal with. And I get in depth into it. And for me, it's something that I still struggle with. So because I still struggle with some of those things, it is very sensitive to, it's a very sensitive topic to me to discuss.
Okay.
So usually, depending on just, I guess, my mood or my emotions at that moment in time, I'll sometimes start the panel with, you know, or that particular part of the panel of, just so you guys know, I'm not, you know, intentionally trying to, I'm not intending to be rude to you by not looking at you when I speak. It's easier for me to talk about these topics if I'm either looking up or looking down at the ground, because if I make eye contact, I may cry.
No way. This is intriguing to me. So you said this is stuff you still deal with. Do you want to talk about that? Can we break open this nutshell of emotion real quick? Because I'm very curious about this.
He's studying to be a psychiatrist.
No, I'm not. I'm just...
So what, you want to analyze me now?
No. Aaron's just being a douchebag. He's trying to ruin me. Mom!
Feel about that.
Do you really have the vacuum now? I'm talking to Ivy Doom Kitty. Okay. Sorry. I'm sorry about that, Ivy. It's just my mom.
I thought you were kidding. You were serious.
No, she's really vacuuming.
Yeah,
right,
she is
now.
Vacuuming, yeah. In the background.
And she's embarrassing me in front of Ivy Doom Kitty.
I'm so sorry. That was awesome.
So let's go from that to your the issues that you feel like you're still going through. Like I'm fascinated by this because you're so confident, you're so beautiful in all the shots you do, and you get all this. I mean, granted, there's a lot of idiots on the internet. Is that what the problem is, or is it what people say? Or
I mean, it's not. It doesn't have to do with what people say on social media so much as just the things I have to deal with growing up. I was bullied as a kid, you know, so a lot of those things stem from just lack of self-esteem, you know, just from, you know, elementary school, middle school, going into high school. So like one thing I do say when I'm doing the panel is that when day in and day out, someone's telling you the same thing over and over and over again, even though you may have a supportive family unit, it starts to become your truth. You start to believe that, you know, so when you start to believe all of the horrible things that people say to you, then, you know, that in turn affects your self-esteem. You start to doubt yourself. You start to doubt, well, you know what, maybe they are right. Maybe I am like this. Maybe I do look like that or what have you. So, you know, it's just one of those things that I carried throughout my childhood, my, you know, teenhood and into my adulthood. Granted, I'm definitely in a better place now than I was then, but, you know, it's one of those things that, and I'm sure anyone that's been bullied heavily in school or name called will agree that, you know, even though they're in a better place as an adult, usually, you know, they still, that baggage still is carried with them for the rest of their life. It's an issue of how they choose to deal with that baggage and how much they choose to let it affect them. You know, some days are great, other days are not so great, you know, and you got to work hard to not focus on the way you think people perceive you to be. I guess is what I mean to say.
I wrote an article just recently because we've recently jumped into Twitch streaming. And we went from full podcast, you know, chugging along, doing just fine, doing our events in Sacramento area. And then we were like, ah, let's start getting our faces out there and doing some Twitch streaming. We started doing it with, you know, pretty okay results. But then, like, every once in a while, you just get these hecklers, kind of. What do we call them? Trolls?
Trolls.
These trolls.
That's a good enough word.
And some of them are kind of funny, and you kind of laugh it off. And then they end up being good fans. But then some people just come in, and then they are so evil. Like, the things they say, they will come up with the most random things. And for me, like, one of them, and I don't know why it's such a big deal to me, because it's I've carried it with me since they were in our chat room. They said something about my hairline. Wow. Like, I've never had anybody talk about my hairline before.
It's the ones you don't see that sting.
And then I start being, now I'm all really concerned about it.
I don't look at people's hairlines.
Everybody like I ask, they're like, no, like, it's perfectly normal. But for some reason...
So what it is that you develop the complex.
Yep.
Why is this happening to me, Ivy Doom Kitty? Fix me.
What happened is that random idiot out there decided to pinpoint something that he felt, in his opinion, was wrong with you. And usually when people do that, in my opinion... is that usually they're unhappy with their own life. You know, they're either miserable or something's going on in their life, and the only way that they can feel better about themselves is by picking on others or making fun of others. You know, think about it. You know, they pick on somebody, and suddenly their problems don't seem so bad. Yeah, they're jerks. You know, it's one of those things that, like, you've got to just try, like, your hardest to not focus on that so much. You know, you gotta work on not delving on that and saying, you know what, you're miserable, you're unhappy with your life. That doesn't mean that I'm gonna be miserable and unhappy with my life. And think about it, you know, the best, in essence, I guess, if I put it this way, the best revenge that you can get, or not justice, I guess it's revenge.
punishment.
I know, you heard it here first. Ivy Doom Kitty advocates revenge, everybody.
Wow.
It's not revenge, it's another word. But pretty much the best thing that you can do to prove is to prove them wrong and live a great life. You know, rise above all of that, and, you know, just be you, do you, and, you know, to hell with whatever anyone says that's negative about you. You know, because, you know, at the end of the day, those people are still going to be miserable. They're still going to be stewing at home or wherever they are and unhappy with their lives and where they are in life. Whereas you, on your end, if, you know, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you're happy with you, you know, you're going to end up being successful.
Well, I've got a podcast with Ivy Doom Kitty on it right now, so I'm pretty damn happy with myself. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Gamer Girls Gone Wild, because I am a fan. I don't follow too many podcasts, because having one and knowing how the pudding is made, you don't really like to eat too much pudding. I think that's the term, right?
I've never heard that. You never
heard that part?
Maybe about hot dogs.
I totally understand what you are saying.
See, Ivy gets it. Aaron.
Right.
I get it.
But seeing how, knowing how everything is done, and then I hear your guys' show, and you guys had a huge guest in Bonnie Ross, even. You had her from 343 talking about Halo.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was really cool. How did all that one come together?
my co-host, Paola, had, I think she was just going to just go for it, you know, and message them and ask if they were interested in doing a podcast. And apparently, usually they shoot podcast down, or like, no, you know, Bonnie's really busy, or this or that's going on. And, you know, a few emails were exchanged, and they said yes.
Wow.
Her team said yes, and originally we were supposed to do the podcast, I think, 3 or 4 months before it actually happened. And I believe right at that moment in time, like, they were gearing up for the Halo release.
Oh, yeah, because this was right before Master Chief Edition, because I remember it was after last E3, but before Master Chief came out.
Right. So, you know, all of that had gone down, so we had to reschedule, and then finally it worked out, and we were able to do it. But she was absolutely amazing. You know, fantastic woman, very talented, very successful. Very funny as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was very surprised, like, with how she was. Like, I've just seen her on the stage shows, so hearing her in your interview was the first time, and I'm a massive Halo fan, so to hear her, like, kind of cut loose with you guys a little bit was really cool. With the podcast, like, how much of your, how far do you guys pursue that? Is that just, like, a little fun thing you're doing on the side? Are you hoping more comes from that? Or what's the haps?
On my end, I enjoy it. I have a lot of fun with it. For me, it's mostly for fun. You know, between, you know, cosplay and everything else going on, there really isn't a lot of time. So, you know, being able to squeeze out like an hour or an hour and a half to podcast, you know, per week is actually a bit of a stretch. However, you know, I do enjoy it. And if it does lead to other opportunities, or, you know, it leads to other doors opening, I'm more than happy to, you know, walk through that door. For me, it's always about growth, you know? It's always about growth, trying new things, experiencing new things, and, you know, you never know you're going to be good at something unless you try. You know, I made a costume, and I walked the convention floor, and I had fun with it, and then I made more costumes, and had you asked me then what I would be doing, you know, two years from then, 2.5 years, 3 years from then, I would have never said it would be what I'm doing now, because... yeah, I definitely could not have seen any of this coming. So, you know, it all boils down to, you know, just if you feel passionate towards something, you know, just go for it. You know, you never know where it's going to lead you, what doors are going to open, what opportunities you're going to have because of doing something that you love.
All right, everybody, that was the first half of the show. We're going to take a quick little break, and while you guys are doing that, we're going to be back with more Ivy Doom Kitty, and we're going to talk about some video games and some what's going on. We're going to talk about what's going on in the world today. What's going on in the world today, man? What's going on in your world today?
A lot cat. Of stuff. A lot of
lots
stuff.
Of cat.
Cats.
Cats. Cats are always going on.
Well, we will be talking about all sorts of fun things, including cats, when we come back from the break, so stick around. What's up, pizza? It's Corey Vincent here, and just reminding you, if you are in the greater Sacramento area and looking for something to do on a Friday night, you got to go to the Gamers Funk Lab, where they have Super Smash Brothers tournaments. The signups begin at 6, singles tournaments start at 7, and this is not something you want to miss out on. It's hosted by the Capital Fight District, the best fighting game tournament holders in town. So if you got nothing better to do, we will see you at the Gamers Funk Lab. All right, we are back. Hope you enjoyed those messages from our sponsors. Of course, we are back with Ivy Doom Kitty, Aaron Carter on the ones and twos, David Webb. Just what are you doing over there, David?
Chilling.
Just chilling.
Chilling like a villain.
Chilling.
Just chilling.
Like a villain.
You deserve the time off, David Webb. Really impressed.
Thank
really
you, sir.
Impressed.
Are you expecting a reaction from me or something?
You. Yeah, I want you to thank David Webb for all he did in my absence.
Thank you for housing us. You did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
That's all thank he you. Did, huh? That's all you're going to say?
This was a group effort, sir.
A group effort?
Yes, this was a group effort.
It was a group effort.
If you listen to this show and you think that this show is a group effort,
then you're correct. And thank you for listening.
I'm never going to forget it. We met a fan at Sacramento Wizard World, and of course Aaron wanted to interview him, so we get the interview going, and you ask the age-old question, who's your favorite host, Corey or Aaron?
And they said David. I was really surprised.
No, he said Aaron.
Yeah, he said me. But I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I don't know.
This is what the fans were asking for, so, you know.
This is why I give up on the world.
I don't understand why. Are you doing this for fans?
Oh yeah!
Wow, for the
yeah
the glory.
That's all.
No.
For the glory.
That's all I do this for.
You want them to that's terrible.
I am
one of them. That's what that is.
Wow,
I'm on their side.
Back with Ivy Doom Kitty. We're talking about a lot of heavy issues, but now let's get into lighter stuff, because if I've learned anything from her podcast and the panels I've gotten to see, you are a legit gamer. Like, you're not just one of those fake gamer girls, quote unquote, that you hear everyone talking about. You actually are very well versed in your geek culture, and especially your video games. What are some of your favorite games you're playing right now?
right now I have not been playing anything since San Diego's up coming up. But when given a chance, my guilty pleasures are actually older games. Star Wars Battlefront from the original Xbox.
One or two?
One.
Oh, okay.
Oh, she's, yeah, she's right.
It's good. Yeah,
yeah, I love the first one. The second one was cool, but I don't know. I like the simplicity of the first one.
Mm.
You know, and just the maps, the layouts on that one. I really liked it.
Are you excited for the new one, or have you gotten a chance to play it?
I have not. I've seen the video footage of it. I'm very interested in trying my hand at it, though. Other games. Super Mario World, Metroid Prime.
Wait, did you say Super Mario World?
Yeah.
On the Super NES?
Yes.
Best Mario game ever, right?
Yes.
Suck it, Aaron.
Suck it. Wow. It's my original Super Nintendo, dude. I got my SNES, was my first console, and I got that. I was either 5 or 6 years old when my dad took me to Toys R Us to get it, and it came with Super Mario World.
Yep.
And I still have that console, and it's still working.
Wow.
Whoa, that's cool.
You take very good care of your stuff. Mine's just broken. Probably in a landfill.
Can you throw it?
It's probably in a landfill.
I am using it.
It's not that funky. You know, like the SNES consoles, they would turn that weird, like, nicotine yellow color?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mine is still that really nice, like, clean, out-of-the-box color.
Wow.
Which I'm very proud of. I don't know what happened. Like, the yellow just... Well, I was. My parents were never smokers. I'm not a smoker or anything like that. So there's that. But it's been my understanding that it would just over time change for some reason.
Well, yeah, like yeah. Aaron and I also we argue about the best.
Like that game, when I get a chance to play more recent games. Well, not so recent. The Last of Us. I had played that for a bit and then just got busy. I played a little bit of Alien Isolation and it scared the hell out of me.
Hmm.
You see, but it was fun.
Alien Isolation was an interesting game because it kind of came out under the radar and a lot of people really dug on that game and said the same thing, that it kind of went back to like traditional horror.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Because it's survival horror, you know?
Yeah, like at its greatest.
Did you notice any glitches with it? I was reading an article yesterday, and they were saying how it would be, like, super random. You'd watch the alien leave the room, and then all of a sudden, it'd be behind you, like, out of the blue.
I don't know if I saw that, but I do remember seeing, you know how you'll have some glitches where, like, certain parts of a character will kind of be sticking out of the wall kind of a deal?
Oh, yeah.
Or clipping, yeah. So,
like, see that with the tail. Sometimes you see, like, the tail kind of, like, sticking through the wall, and it really wasn't. Yeah, it was, yeah.
That would almost
scary
be
as hell, though. AI is very smart,
and it's got that Sigourney Weaver.
My games right now. I haven't tried my hand at the new Tomb Raider game, and I've had it sitting here for a while, and I haven't had a chance to play it. But I'm more of a Tomb Raider Legend fan, personally.
Really? That one wasn't
like,
super popular. Hmm? What did you like about it?
I don't know. Maybe, like, just the way, like, you know, on the load screen, like, her boobs start, like, shifting from side to side, or, you know.
Okay, I'm in. That's the best Tomb Raider game. Does it really do that, though?
No. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it follows
anytime,
you around?
Like, you just have the load screen playing. She would, like, start doing all of these different stretches or what have you, and, you know, they would move in a realistic fashion. And for me, it was just always comical. I thought it was the funniest thing.
Oh, man. Just when you said that game's but, prices, or yeah, the game just sales shot through the roof.
Yeah.
I'm actually.
Get it for the.
I'm getting it on Amazon right now.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, I like older games. Oh, I started playing. I started playing Ocarina of Time on. Right? No, Majora's Mask. Sorry. Majora's Mask on my 3DS XL.
Ooh.
Is it your first time playing that game at all?
Yeah, that was actually my very first time playing.
Oh, we're going to take away your geek card, Ivy. Oh, I'm taking your geek card. If you guys...
I was more of a, you know, Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong kind of a fan.
And,
Donkey Kong.
people listening who think I'm just being a complete douche to you, it's because during the break, she tried to take my geek card because I didn't know a character from Harry Potter. Harry Potter came out when I was like, I was old enough to know better. I'm not going to read Harry Potter.
Spider-Man came out way before you were...
Spider-Man. You don't know you like it unless you try it.
Exactly.
I don't know. Little boy, thrown in the closet, gets wizard powers. I'm not into it. Best friend's a ginger.
That's how he got his wizard powers, thrown in the closet.
Thrown into a closet. Wow. Lightning bolt on his eye, stupid glasses.
Wow.
I'm more refined than that. I'm a Spider-Man guy. Wow. I need pictures of Spider-Man.
You need pictures, is what you're saying, huh?
Okay. Gross.
So are you a big Potter fan? Which house are you? I know that you Harry Potter fans like to claim your houses. Are you a Slytherin?
Slytherin.
I knew it. You know when I really fell in love with Ivy Doomkitty was, Aaron?
No, I don't know. You don't want to know? No.
Is when we were talking at Wizard World, we were doing the cosplay video for Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. And this is embarrassing for me because I don't listen to that kind of music.
She lies.
You guys know.
Neither do I.
You guys know I am metal through and through.
Okay, whatever.
Here's my favorite bands. Def Leppard.
Okay.
Van Halen.
Terrible.
You can name metal bands. Good job.
But Ivy's like, I don't know this song too
well. You need to add some Deftones to that list.
Which one?
So you need to add Deftones to that list.
That's what I was saying. I was asking, Ivy's like, I don't know too much Taylor Swift. So I was like, yeah, but we could fake it, right? I was like, what do you listen to? She said Deftones was the first band she named. That's how you know it's a keeper, for those of you at home.
Are they from Sacramento?
They are from Northern California.
California.
Yep. So you have good taste in music. What other bands are you listening to these days?
Right now, it's usually just soundtrack music, really. Danny Elfman, Hans Zimmer.
Really? You're listening to composers?
Can't go wrong with Hans.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love, just scores. I love listening to scores. More mainstream type stuff, I guess I would say, would be like 30 Seconds to Mars, Linkin Park, Korn, Marilyn Manson, things like that. And then, I also like to listen to, groups like Massive Attack or Pentaphobe or Beach Antique.
Aaron's sitting here going like,
I don't know if
hell?
You can tell. Aaron is, he's an African-American fellow.
I'm black.
African-American. I'm trying to be you. Can I say that?
I don't know any Africans in my family.
I'm used to just calling you Aaron.
Okay, that's fine.
Not used to. So he has no frame of reference here. You do listen to John Mayer, though, right?
Okay.
Right, Aaron?
Yes, I do listen to John Mayer.
So there's your cred. Right there.
Wow.
I'll say that I am very diverse in my musical taste, with the exception of country. I absolutely detest country music.
That seems to be everybody's I'm pretty diverse in music, but I won't listen to country, really. I don't really like it that much. I hate it.
But the people who are into country are really into country.
Yeah, it's kind of
you don't go halfway.
I can't do country.
No.
No. How about no?
Ivy, are you listening to the soundtracks while you're getting dressed? Like in your cosplay? Like, is it hype music?
Usually when I have several different playlists. There's a soundtrack playlist. There's a classical music playlist. Classical is in, Mozart, Beethoven, not like classic rock or anything like that.
So when you're getting dressed up as Velma, do you listen to like
the Scooby-Doo theme song?
Or like when you dress up like...
No, when I'm putting on my makeup, I usually listen to Goodbye Horses.
What is that?
Really?
Goodbye Horses?
Goodbye Horses. I've never heard of Goodbye Horses, definitely.
Have you guys seen Silence of the Lambs?
I'm looking this up right now.
Are you talking about Buffalo Bills?
Uh-huh.
That's terrible. So psycho music is what she's listening to.
She clearly
that
has
that one's in mine.
That is, it's crazy music.
Wow. Ivy Doomkitty has a dark side, people. She has some fucked up stuff going on in her mind when she's putting on that makeup. She has bad intentions when she's walking that show floor.
She's in the Doom costume. I doom me. You doom me.
This is the scary stuff, God. Ivy. Maybe you do need a psychiatrist.
That song is in my it's that place called Yeah. And there's that one. There's bits of random stuff. Certain songs that for me are just somewhat upbeat but yet relaxing as well. I'm trying to think what I have on there. I can actually check because I don't know half the stuff I listen to unless I'm actually listening to it. Playlist. Oh, Florence and the Machine.
Okay, that's good. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Aaron, you don't know Florence and the Machine now?
No, I don't.
What's wrong with you?
Sorry.
The dog days are over? You don't know that one?
I know who let the dogs
out.
I
like heavy.
You know who let the dogs out?
The Eagles. Radiohead, Coldplay, Muse, some Depeche Mode.
I know Coldplay.
Rage Against the Machine, Smashing Pumpkins.
I know Smashing Pumpkins.
You do know Smashing Pumpkins?
What is it?
My Chemical Romance.
I know My Chemical Romance. You yeah. Do? They sing that song about that girl.
That's it?
Yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah.
You're right. Every
band in America.
It's like...
Every emo band.
R.E.M. is My Religion.
I got R.E.M. on my phone, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Rapid Eye Movement?
No, it's... Bad Day, I think it's
called. That's what REM stands for, Rapid Eye Movement.
Oh, I had no idea.
You had no idea?
No.
It's because I am rock and roll, Aaron.
That's terrible.
Do you play any instruments? Are you a musical person?
I wish. I took piano lessons when I was when I was around 11 or 12. And I wanted to continue taking it, but then we moved out to, we moved away from the place that I was having the lessons, and then as a teenager I started to take the lessons again, and then just life got in the way and I stopped taking piano lessons. And I currently do have a piano at home, but I never have time to actually pursue learning it. So, you know, on occasion I'll you know, try to figure something out, you know, kind of like just play by ear.
Oh yeah.
But not anything that would be worthy of being able to play in front of anyone, because it would just be so terrible and really bad. But, you know, hopefully, I do hope that at some point in my life, before I die, I do learn how to play the piano properly.
Aaron, didn't you play an instrument?
Tuba? My for sure.
Saxophone, what did you play?
I played three instruments.
Flute?
I played the clarinet.
Wow, even worse.
The bass clarinet, which is just a giant clarinet that looks like a saxophone, and then a little bit of the piano.
If someone gave you a clarinet right now, could you play anything? Like, can you?
I don't know.
Stick with
it's
you that
been
long?
Years. No, I don't know. I can't even read the music anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, I take that back. I can read the music because it's very simple, but playing is a whole different ball game.
Now we've. Not to sound creepy, but we've studied your cosplay, Ivy Doom Kitty. I mean, we peruse. We're fans. Aaron's favorite one of yours is the, and I have to say it's really good, is the M. Bison. What was the inspiration behind that one?
Is the what? I'm sorry.
M. Bison. And I think, wouldn't M. Bison be the inspiration?
Bison?
Well, I know he's, yeah, right. Yeah, but he's a dude, and she did the whole female swap thing to it, and it's yeah. Like, did you play that character, or what's, why didn't you do, like Chung Li, like everyone else?
I have more fun with villains, to be honest with you. I tend to favor the villains over the heroes in anything, usually.
So you're always going for the bad guys in the movies.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, like Thor, was I rooting for Loki? Absolutely.
Well, that's because Tom Hiddleston is, like, dreamy.
Did I feel bad for the Joker when he died in the original Batman? When, or not the original Batman, but Tim Burton's Batman, when he went, you know, falling down the cathedral?
That was pretty
I felt
sad.
So sorry for him.
That was pretty sad,
I felt for him.
Yeah, that was sad. Even as a kid, I was like, whoa, he's dead. Little thing too.
Yeah, you know, I just
terrible.
My thought process behind it is I feel that villains are very much understood individuals, and they're typically a product of their surroundings or how they were raised, or misfortunes in their lives. Well, Dr. Doom and Magneto are both really good examples of that. You know, Dr. Doom, his mother was pretty much, she was killed for being not a warlock or a witch, I guess is how you would say it. You know, they killed her for being what she was. You know, he was exposed to all of that. You know, he vowed to come back and pretty much take his land back. You know, he was screwed up. It wasn't his fault. He saw a lot of really crappy things happen.
Do you actually read comic books? Are you a avid comic book reader?
Yes.
I'm just checking because, like, guys like Aaron, he has bought, how many comic books have you bought in your life?
Zero.
And you know a lot about comic books.
I'm an avid
Wikipedia reader.
Comic studier, not just Wikipedia. Okay. I look all over the place.
Yeah, so there's that kind of, there's a lot of comic book knowledge, but, like, I will go spend a bunch of, I'll waste my money on comic books. So I was just trying to see, you actually, which ones are you subscribing to?
I haven't had a chance to read anything recent aside from, what was the book I just read? Doom War was really good. I read that about a month ago on a flight back home. I don't know from where. In terms of, like, the latest books that are out at the moment, no, I'm not caught up with any of them because I'm so damn busy. My knowledge of comics stems from back when I actually had a lot of time to read. I was collecting between 40 and 60 books a month.
Whoa.
Several years back, and I know it sounds like a ridiculous number, but if you remember, not New 52, but do you remember the original, like, 52 countdown books? They did, like, a countdown, and then there was, was it Infinite Crisis? It was a countdown, then Infinite Crisis.
Countdown to
Crisis. And then they counted back up, and then it was Final Crisis.
Yeah.
So, before all that happened, I was reading heavily, and then when the countdown book started, and it was those 52 weeks counting down or counting up, I was reading, you know, each one of those weekly, in addition to every single book you could think of that was a tie-in, you know, even like frickin' Metal Men, I was reading, like, anything. Wow. I was reading it because I wanted to get the whole picture.
But you're okay. So, Ivy Doom Kitty. So you got it. Does the Ivy come from Ivy from Batman?
No, Ivy's actually my nickname.
Oh, okay. So Ivy. I always thought it was like. Okay, so
DC
then,
Marvel.
Yeah,
and then I like.
Yeah,
cats.
So your name comes from a Marvel, but you were heavily into DCU. What's your allegiance right now?
Marvel. It's Marvel. Everything Marvel. I grew up. You know. Well, let's see. Let's just start with my top characters from each one of those houses would be Batman from DC and Magneto from Marvel.
And who from Marvel?
I grew up
Magneto.
Oh, Magneto.
So why aren't you Ivy Magneto Kitty?
Or Bat Magneto Kitty?
Well, that's the thing, though. Doom Kitty? Doom has nothing to do with Dr. Doom.
No. I've been lied to?
No, for real. Yeah. Kitty part is just my obsession with cats. Doom is just me. I the easiest way I can explain it is I tend to like, I guess, the darker things. The darker things, darkness, not, I don't want to say villainy per se. I'm not, it's difficult to word.
The dark side.
Doom, like this. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, dark side of the force, you know, kind of a deal. Like, I that attracts me. So that's where that came from, and they just kind of all became one big old fusion. And Doom Kitty itself was my original gamer tag when the first Xbox came out, when I was trying to figure out what to use as a, like, a stage name for cosplay. I said, you know, why don't we mash up my nickname and put it together with my gamer tag, and Ivy Doom Kitty was born.
And then magic happened. Now, you have this amazing thing going on at San Diego Comic-Con. You are the self-proclaimed cosplay pimp, P-I-M-P, because you're going to have, like, the top cosplayers all in, not, like, their own booths or just, like, the generic cosplay booth. This is going to be the Ivy Doom Kitty booth at San Diego Comic-Con, booth number 4016. How did you find yourself into this role of being the cosplay pimp, and how'd you get all these big names to come together Avengers style and represent you?
I mean, I had the booth last year, and we were just kind of testing it out. Jessica Negri is a friend of mine, and she signed, I think, for a couple of hours on Sunday of last year. And it was, for me, it was kind of more like just to kind of test and see how it went. And it went over surprisingly well. I was really, really happy with the result. And just like line control and everything worked out favorably. You know, when I got the booth this year, I said, you know what? Why don't we have a bunch of, you know, my friends and a bunch of, you know, these talented ladies that I know sign at the booth, you know, and we can all spend time, in essence, we can all, you know, spend time together there. Everyone can, you know, set their hours of how long they want to sign there, which will give them each freedom to, you know, if they want to walk the floor or, you know, if they only want to sign for a short amount of time and then just kind of be done for the day and, you know, just kind of do what they want to do, in essence, while also, you know, catering to their fans and being able to meet their fans, because San Diego Comic-Con is relatively difficult to be able to either have a booth or sign as a cosplayer.
Is it,
you know,
really?
If you're a comic book artist or, you know, a vendor, you know, sell comics and things like that, that's one thing, and, you know, that's not an issue, but with cosplay itself, you know, cosplayers can't have, you know, an area in our artist alley. And, you know, there's no cosplay area at Comic-Con. So, you know, for me, just the logical solution was, you know what, why don't I just get a booth?
And how'd you get this booth? So, like, if it was difficult, you just walk up and say, hey, bitch, I'm Ivy Doom Kitty, and I'm taking booth 4016, and there's nothing you can do to stop me? Or how did you get it?
No. It's a wait list. The way booths work with San Diego is...
My story was way more interesting, Ivy. I suggest you don't... I think my side... You should have just went with my story, because I said something awesome and badass, and you said, oh, a wait list. No one puts Ivy Doom Kitty on a wait list, do they?
It does sound awesome and badass, but...
She's like, no, I didn't say bitch. I just said, can I please have a spot? And they made me wait for a couple months. Are you guys planning on all like cosplaying as a unit, or is everyone just bringing their best? And do you guys have to like really schedule it out so that you don't do Velma and Envious Us does her Velma, or do you guys like?
I mean, all the girls that I tend to work with cosplayers that have a common goal with myself or are positive in the community. They're good with their fans. You know, I'm very selective with who I work with. And for me, it's just one of those things that, you know, two people can have two completely different ideologies, you know, for me, what I do is all about, you know, like helping the community grow, helping it become one, be more inclusive of others versus exclusive, you know, and just promote each other as a whole versus self-promotion.
So are you guys all, do you guys work well together? Are you guys all going to, like, do a choreographed cosplay, or are you guys just a hodgepodge of best ofs?
It'll be, like, a choreographed, you know, like a dance sequence.
Oh, sweet.
You know, strobe light, the whole shebang.
No way. That'd be so cool.
So everyone, in general, Envious, for example, she does a fantastic Velma. Sometimes we do actually like to wear our Velmas on the same day. Okay? So it's a common misconception that cosplayers don't like to be dressed as the same thing. I'd say the more seasoned cosplayers are very accepting of that. A lot of the newer cosplayers are also, like, you know, like, they just don't, like, they don't know how the community is initially sometimes, but I would say overall, you know, you lead by example. You know, you show what the community can be, you know, when you put a bunch of people together like that and they're working great together, you know, something as trivial as, oh, we're wearing the same costume, it's never been an issue, at least in my experience.
That's
if anything,
awesome.
We get really excited when we see someone else wearing the same thing that we're wearing. We're like, oh my God, let's take a picture. And, oh, you know, you did this. I would have never thought of that. You know, it's actually, it's very much a learning experience. It's fun. It's, you know, it's you geeking out with somebody else that loves the character as much as you do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And what you just said, everything there about positivity and who you want to work with, and like, in, especially in talking with Eric before, and we've talked to Janice Davis a lot, and it's a common thing you see with these. I'm talking to the fans here, people. When you see these people who are doing all this awesome stuff to the max of their potential, and they all have the same personality. It's always about helping each other out. Like, I've reached out to other podcasters before, and then they won't associate with us because they're afraid we're going to steal listeners or something like that. But it's we'll probably steal a few. But still, it's not about that. They could take some from us. It doesn't matter. It's all about working together and achieving that goal of unity. That's the message here, people.
Exactly. That's embracing one another.
Embracing one another. And I would love to embrace Ivy Doom Kitty, but we can't because we're separated by all this internets. But what do you want to plug on the show? You want to talk about San Diego? Where can people learn more about Ivy Doom Kitty?
With San Diego Comic Con, the cosplay guests that will be at the booth are Jessica Nigri, Leanna Vamp, Nadia Sonica, Nicole Marie Jean, Envious, Heather 1337, Jennifer Ann. I'm gonna be a complete asshole if
you forget somebody.
I forgot one person. I'm looking. And Envious. No, I got them all. Yeah, I got them all.
I'm looking. So, at them here. Yeah. Oh, I said yeah. I'm looking at them all here on the list. You got them all.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they all have different signing times. So just keep an eye on their respective social media pages for them to announce what their signing times are. You know, and just, you know, if you want to see a particular person, just make sure that, you know, you're there within those time frames for that particular day that you'll be there. And it's booth 4016 at San Diego Comic Con. It's actually two aisles to the right of the Nickelodeon booth.
Ooh, so you can go.
Yeah, it's hard to miss. And I believe it's entering through Hall C or D.
Well, you know, and you so can also you reserve. It's great. Pre-order her calendar now from her website, right?
ivydoomkitty.storeenvy.com.
Oh, .store. Oh, it's Store Envy. Okay, so ivydoomkitty.storeenvy.com. Twitter, she's at ivydoomkitty, which I'm sure you already follow her because everybody in the world does. And we want to thank you so much for your time, Ivy. We got to do this again. Actually, I think now it's time to bring me and Aaron on to the Gamer Girls Gone Wild show.
Absolutely. I say let's do it. We'd love to have you guys on.
That would be so amazing.
Something else. Great. And we actually, I'll be doing two panels at San Diego. I have the Men of Cosplay panel on Friday at 4 in room 14A. And then on Saturday in the same room at 4, I'll be doing my body confidence and positivity and cosplay panel.
Well, we will.
So, you know, definitely, you know, check it out. Come by, listen in on the panel. If you're curious about cosplay but you're worried or you don't feel confident enough to do it, who knows, maybe after you hear the panel you'll be more prone to wanting to do it next time around.
All right, everybody, if you're going to San Diego Comic-Con, look out for Ivy Doom Kitty. All the stuff will be on social media. We'll post it in the comments below for the episode you're listening to. But for Aaron Carter, David Webb, the real David Webb, that is Corey Vincent, and Ivy Doom Kitty, don't be douchebags. We'll see you next week.
Let me bang,
I
man.
Do let you bang. Hey,
let me bang again, man.
I let you bang.
Let me bang.
I let you bang.
Let me bang.
Let me bang.
Let me bang.
Now go fuck yourselves.